talking TV, comics and movies, and video games. And if you don't know Star Trek from Star Wars, we'll try to explain. There are 12 doctors, 4 Hogwarts houses, 1 ring rules and more.
And if you're driving around the greater St. Louis area tonight, hearing us on the big 550 KTRS, hello to all of you. We appreciate you tuning in. If you're streaming us on the KTRS app or at ktrs.com/stream, we appreciate you finding us there. And as always, if you're hearing this show after it has already aired in the podcast form, we appreciate you subscribing on whatever platform you're hearing us. And hopefully you've already left us a nice 5-star review. That always helps us out in search engine optimization. No video tonight. My executive producer, Joey V, is out on assignment. He's the one who runs all the videos, so you should all be very happy you don't have to look at me tonight. But many of you have tuned in to hear my guest. We've got a great guest lined up first here. Dr. Colton Scribner has studied the science of fear. We're going to talk to him about that, his upcoming talk he'll be giving at the Haunted Garage Horror Festival, which you can visit here in St. Louis October 5th. Through the 7th, he'll be giving a talk on morbid curiosity. Why do we like horror films and our fascination with serial killers? We've got him on the line right now. Dr. Scribner, thanks for coming on the show tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Of course. So the first thing I think about when I hear the science of fear, I'm a geek, so my mind goes to Dr. Jonathan Crane, the Scarecrow, one of my favorite Batman rogues. But I studied psychology in college, and I was how we are so afraid of things, but we end up going to horror movies because we like being afraid. What is it that drives us to do those kind of things?
Well, it sort of depends who you are. I think, you know, back in the 70s and 80s and kind of the early 90s, there were a handful of psychology studies that came out that argued that, well, people just like this because they sort of like the adrenaline rush, right? Like same reason maybe they go to a roller coaster or go skydiving or bungee jumping. And then the research kind of fell out of favor for like 20 years and nobody really did much work on it. And so when I picked it up about 5 to 7 years ago, the only thing that really was out there was this handful of studies, you know, from 30 years ago that said, well, people just like it because they're adrenaline junkies. But when I started looking into this, I found that, you know, that's true for some people. Some people do like the adrenaline rush, but a lot of other people don't seem to do it for that reason. So a huge portion of people that we've interviewed at haunted houses and people who are horror movie fans tell us that they actually feel like they kind of learn something when they experience something scary. They learn something about themselves, or they learn something about the world. They learn about their own tolerance for fear and how they behave when they're afraid. Because most people go through life, you know, reasonably so, like trying not to feel afraid. But what that means is that you don't have a lot of experience feeling afraid. And so most people don't really know how they would react, you know, in a really terrifying situation. And horror movies kind of give you a little bit of insight into yourself there.
It's interesting because I'll sit there and we'll go watch horror films and scary movies, and it's the people make the dumbest mistakes. You're like, why would you go check out The Sound in the Basement by yourself? I think that tells us all that we're a lot smarter than the people in the scary movies, if that says anything about
us. I think so, and it's easy to teach people what not to do, right? You just show them people making really terrible mistakes in a horror movie, and that's, people like to learn what not to do. You know, they don't like it when you tell them what to do. Like, if you tell people what they should be doing, they don't usually like that. But if you tell them, or if you show them rather, what they shouldn't be doing, that's much more interesting to them. So if you show them, you know, horror movie protagonists making these terrible mistakes, it's much more entertaining, I think, for most people.
And I know there's different types of supernatural, and there's also the slasher films that we always talk about. You know, it's one of my favorite questions to ask people if I find out they're a horror movie fan is, what type of horror scares you? And there's all sorts of different genres within the horror genre itself. Has your research led you on any insights as to whether more people identify with they enjoy, air quotes around enjoy, slasher movies versus suspense, actual real life stalker movies versus supernatural, right? Or is there any difference?
There doesn't seem to be a huge difference in, let's say, like their personality traits. They actually are like kind of consistent. But there does seem to be a pretty consistent finding that people find realistic horror more scary. So things like home invasion movies, for example, like The Strangers is a great example of that.
Yeah.
Somewhat realistic, right? Not quite slasher in the 80s sense, not paranormal really. But it's this kind of realistic thing that potentially could happen. Hush is another great one, good example of like a really scary one that people find really scary. Mm. These kind of like thriller home invasion kind of stories usually rank at the top. And then right below that usually are the paranormal stories.
And see, that's always fascinating because I always find the supernatural ones more terrifying, because if it's a slasher or a serial killer, you know, again, you know what to do because you've seen people make the mistakes. You don't split up. You grab a weapon of some kind, a baseball bat, a rake, whatever you have. Supernatural,
right.
You can't do anything against it. Like one of the
right.
most terrifying movies that I've seen in the past decade was The Conjuring. And there's just had no defense.
Well, I think that's why people find paranormal stories so interesting, too. I mean, a lot of the work I've done has looked at, well, you know, why do people find ghost stories? So, like, why do we like ghost stories so much? And one potential reason is that we don't really know how to deal with a ghost. Like, if we come across a ghost or a demon or some kind of alien or some being that, you know, we're not familiar with, it's really difficult for us to know even how we would behave. And so a great way to kind of rehearse that or practice that or sort of play with that idea is to do it in a scary movie.
Yeah. And I know it's an easy win at the box office, whether they come out in this time of year or if a lot of them, they come out, they wait for Valentine's Day because they know dates like to go and be scared together in the theater. But it's never a bad bet to make a horror movie. Usually the budgets are small, but we're not here to talk about just horror movies. I want to talk about the science behind some of this. I noticed you're a behavioral scientist. Do you find the different approaches in psychology to fear, be it from a behavioral aspect or a psychoanalytic or a Rogerian, how does a behaviorist approach fear versus some of the other types of psychologists?
Yeah, that's a good question. My own research really hinges more on kind of the biology behind these things, right? So, I call myself a behavioral scientist because it's kind of a generalist term that, you know, people can kind of understand, like, oh, you study behavior, right? But really my own research looks at how do other animals experience fear, maybe in playful ways, and what happens in the human body when we experience fear. So I probably take more of an approach like that as opposed to, say, a psychoanalytic or maybe more traditional, even a more traditional behaviorist approach.
And with the work you've been doing and everything like that, have you found something that in your studies, you know, because a lot of people think, okay, it's fear-based, it's adrenaline, it's just our normal evolutionary response to stimuli, we get the fight or flight thing. Have you come across anything that's kind of upset the apple cart, as it would be, and maybe changed the way you view this kind of reaction?
Yeah, one of the more interesting findings that we came across was that people who are a bit higher in anxiety, whether that's like by their nature or because they're anxious about something coming up, let's say, they actually tend to prefer horror movies more so than people who are lower in anxiety. And I think that that's counterintuitive for a lot of people, right? Because you would think that if you're feeling anxious, or if you're sort of an anxious person, why would you go out and find something that makes you feel anxious? But it turns out, you know, one potential reason for that is that, well, two reasons. One is that, you know, if you're an anxious type of person, one of the hallmarks of anxiety is that you pay more attention to potential threats in the real world, but not just in the real world, also in the fictional world. And so you're sort of more drawn to these fictional threats like monsters and killers and things in our stories. And that kind of lures you into the horror genre, the true crime genre, thrillers. And then once you're there, you get very anxious and afraid during the movie. Again, these are the kind of people who maybe don't enjoy that adrenaline rush as much. But while they're, you know, when they're watching a scary movie, they feel like they have a little more control over their anxiety. So in an everyday situation, if I'm feeling anxious about an upcoming event, let's say, like a talk that I'll give in two weeks at a horror film festival, there's nothing I can do to prevent that, right? Like, I'm just going to feel anxious about that. I don't have much control over it. But if I'm feeling anxious while I'm watching a horror movie, there's a lot of things I can do to kind of control that, dial it up or dial it down. I can turn the lights on if it gets too scary. I can look up spoilers. I can pause the movie. I can watch it with someone else, turn the volume up or down. So there's a lot of ways that I can modify how strong it is, right?
Yeah.
And you can't really do that in the real world. And so it gives you kind of a sense of control and over time, potentially a sense of kind of mastery of your own anxiety. And you kind of learn these skills and how to regulate how strongly you feel in response to something scary.
One of the things that always stood out to me when I was studying psychology was, I cannot remember the name. I blanked on it as soon as I started talking. The man who had the little boy was afraid, and so he did the gradual slowdown of his fear by, he'd introduce the stimuli. It'd be at the end of the table and in a glass cage, and then he would...
Oh, like exposure therapy,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes. He'd slowly expose him more and more. But I remember the thing, he'd give the child something to eat when the stimulus was introduced in the room, because eating kicks in your parasympathetic nervous system, so it kind of tamps down your sympathetic. And I notice more people seem to get concessions when they go to a scary movie. So I think that might be something innate in us. We just kind of know that's going to calm us down.
Oh, that, I'd never even thought of that. That's a great study idea, right? And it would be so simple to see, do people who buy tickets to a scary movie actually buy more in the concessions? So if any, if AMC is listening and they want to fund a study, I would love to. I would love to do that, because you're right. So for people who are listening that maybe don't have a psychology background, I mean, your sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems are just two sort of branches of your overall overall nervous system. And the sympathetic is kind of like a gas pedal, right? It kind of revs you up. And the parasympathetic is a bit like the brake. It kind of slows you down a little bit. And both of them are always active when you're walking about. But if something scary happens, usually your sympathetic ramps up, gets your heart rate going, your adrenaline pumping. And then when something more calming happens, let's say you defeat the thing that's scary, or you finish the horror movie, or maybe you're relaxing and you're eating, your parasympathetic nervous system kicks in and kind of, it's more of the rest and digest. So sympathetic is more like fight or flight. Parasympathetic is more like rest and digest. So it would be interesting to see, if people eat more calories during a horror movie. You certainly burn more calories. There's a study that's shown that, really. Yeah, you burn more calories watching a scary movie than you do watching other kinds of movies.
Exactly. No, it would be. We'll have to say, like you said, if anyone's listening, a theater chain wants to help us out with this, we'd appreciate the support. That'd be great. And again, we're talking with Dr. Colton Scribner about the science of fear. Are you okay to stick with me through a very quick commercial break, Doctor?
Yeah, of course.
All right, perfect. We are going to take a very brief pause. We're going to come back and we're going to continue talking about the science of fear. We've also got some giveaways to do. We'll do those shortly here as well. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio on the Big 550 KTRS. Please stand by.
Hey, this is Dave Desmalchin. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Welcome back to Geek to Me Radio, heard here every Sunday night on the Big 550 KTRS, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 o'clock for those of you here sharing my time zone with me. We've got a couple giveaways to do from Kokomo Toys, one of our sponsors and partners. Also, courtesy of Allied Entertainment, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to Flora and Son. So throughout the broadcast, I'm going to be monitoring the KTRS text lines. You can text your answer at 84126 for the movie. You have to be in the greater St. Louis area to attend. Otherwise, you're going to have to drive all the way to the High Point Theater, which is worth the drive. But all I need to know, if you would like a pair of tickets to see Flora and Son at the High Point on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, which is the 26th, I believe, then all you'll need to do is tell me your favorite movie or TV series featuring Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who appears in this particular film. So that'll be a pair of tickets to the High Point. Concessions are included with that. You can see Flora and Son, you and a guest, courtesy of Allied Entertainment. And all I need is the answer, what's your favorite TV show or movie featuring Joseph Gordon-Levitt? We're talking with Dr. Colton Scribner for the remainder of the half hour here. We were discussing the science of fear. And we should mention once again, he will be giving a talk at the Haunted Garage Horror Film Festival, October 5th through the 7th. I believe his talk is 2:45 p.m. on Saturday the 7th. And he'll be talking about morbid curiosity, why do we like horror, and our fascination with serial killers. You've also got an upcoming book that's coming out next year, I believe, correct?
Correct, yeah. Sometime next year. Don't know the exact date yet.
And talk a little bit about the book, if you could.
Sure. So this will be a popular science book, so it's not made for academics or researchers. It's made for anyone who's interested to consume. And the book kind of just explores a lot of the research that I've done and sort of puts it in a more easily digestible form, more easily readable form. And it talks about why we enjoy things like horror movies and why we're fascinated with serial killers and why we're sometimes intrigued by bodily injuries or ghosts or aliens, why monsters sort of take the forms they do and why that interests us, and how horror in some cases might actually be good for you. So kind of the stuff that we had mentioned before the break about anxiety and how people who are anxious can actually use horror movies as a kind of emotional exposure therapy to learn these tricks to overcome their fears.
And I assume because it's that adrenaline boost and gets your heart pumping, I assume it must be in some way good for your cardiovascular system?
Might be, yeah. There hasn't been a lot of research on that, but as long as you find an outlet for it, I imagine it could be, right?
That's like I said, I recommend horror movies, but I like horror movies myself, so I'm always a fan of going to see those. And also, everyone loves zombies. You're the director of the Eureka Springs Zombie Crawl, which is just south of us here in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. What all does that entail?
Yeah, so the Zombie Crawl is in its 10th year this year here in Eureka Springs. It's one of, if not the biggest event of the year for the town. So this year on Saturday, so it's always the Saturday before Halloween. This year, that's October 28th. We have events all day long starting around noon. We'll have a local ballroom here is teaching you how to do the thriller dance in the park. We'll have some live music outside. We'll have a VIP lounge with some music inside. We'll have makeup artists here who will do your makeup for you. We have a bunch of spooky vendors all along the street. We'll have food trucks. And then at 6 p.m., the parade will start. So, like, the crawl itself will start. And we invite everyone to come. It's a free event. We do donate proceeds to the food bank. So, like, if you'll bring 2 cans of food, for example, rather than pay anything to be in the parade, we donate that to our local food pantry here. But we invite anyone who's like a street performer or just wants to dress up as a zombie and walk through, or if you have a really cool car that you could dress up as kind of an apocalyptic car or a zombie-themed car or float. It's a lot of fun. And then afterwards, we have an after-party going on at the basement of the auditorium here starting at 8 o'clock.
Very nice. And I know if my friend Chris McQuillan is listening, he's got a really cool zombie apocalypse style car. So he might want to make the drive down to Eureka Springs and show that off. So that'd be a very very cool event.
And yeah.
How long
and
has it been going on for?
Prizes for best, best costume in the after party, best zombie car in the parade, best zombie float in the parade. So we have a local artist here who's going to make up some really cool sort of apocalyptic trophies for those.
Nice. And how long has that been going on for?
How long has the zombie crawl been going on for?
Yeah.
The first year was 2012.
Okay. So, over 10 years. That's great.
Yeah. I think they took a few years off for COVID, so I think this is technically the 10th annual one.
Oh, very nice. Okay. So that'd be a good one to get in on then.
Yeah.
We discussed a little bit. You mentioned, if you're worried about getting up to give a speech, there's phobias versus fears. And
right.
So a lot of people, there's a distinct difference. Fear is something we all have. I think if I remember correctly.
Reasonable, right?
Yeah,
fear,
exactly.
Fear is reasonable.
Yeah. Where phobia is, that might be where a little bit of behaviorism and a little psychoanalyst comes in to kind of work together. Because some of the stuff like, the triskaidekaphobia, fear of the number 13, you've got all sorts of weird ones. Agoraphobia and things like that. Speaking in public, obviously. So when you're looking at the different scientific responses to these things, talk a little bit for people who might not be as familiar, the difference between fear and a phobia and what people might be able to do to kind of alleviate if they have a phobia about something.
Yeah, I think you did a good job there. I think, fears are something that everyone has, and fear is a response. It's a response to a perceived threat, right? So if you perceive something to be threatening, you feel afraid. That's a typical fear. Everybody has that. Everybody experiences that to different things and to different degrees. A phobia is usually, it's it's a bit of a fuzzy line, but a phobia typically is described as something that is usually an irrational fear, or maybe an irrational degree of fear to something. So, you know, lots of people are afraid of spiders, but some people are, you know, almost unreasonably afraid of spiders. They can't even be in the same room as a spider, even if it's in a cage across the room, right? So it kind of impacts your ability to just go about your daily life. So needle phobias are really common. Fear of snakes, spiders, the phobias for snakes and spiders are both really common. We have these things that we're typically afraid of, and then there's kind of this extreme version of it that becomes a phobia. As far as what you can do about it, I mean, you know, exposure therapy works really well for phobias. I mean, as far as I know, that's really the only, I'm not a clinical psychologist, but that's the only treatment I'm aware of that really seems to work. And for fears, you can use, I mean, there's something similar. You can use exposure therapy, but you can do kind of an emotional exposure therapy where you just learn that it's okay to feel afraid. And like your body is going to feel weird when you're afraid, but you don't, you know, it doesn't always map onto how bad something is. So if you feel really terrified of something, like let's say, you know, a talk you're going to give or some big event that's coming up, your body might be giving you signals that, like, you know, there's danger impending, right? Your heart's racing and you're sweating or whatever. But you know, when you sort of practice feeling afraid by engaging in these playful, scary things like horror movies or haunted houses or other Halloween experiences, you kind of learn that, you know, what it feels like to be afraid of something that's not really dangerous. And it kind of teaches you a little bit about, you know, your own reactions to these things.
And of course, there's, you know, people give you the little things if you're afraid of speaking in a crowd, to stay on that topic, picture everyone mm-hmm. naked, for example, or little things like that you can do. But
maybe
some of the stuff
the crowd
is usually grounded. What's that?
I said maybe depends on the crowd you're in. I don't know.
It's very true. If you're addressing a crowd of elderly people, it might be a different, might be a whole new fear you get into now.
Yeah, new phobia.
And then a lot of the fears, like you said, they're irrational, but some of them are born from like childhood traumas, which can go down a whole nother avenue. Where simple fears like, hey, I don't want to fall, which I think is the only fear that people are born with. Most fears have to be kind of learned from something.
Mm.
But that's
there's some fears that people are born with. So. Like fear of falling is a really good one to be born with, because you don't want to learn from that from experience, right? Seems like a preparedness to learn to fear certain things. So it's easier to make someone fear a snake than it is to make them fear like a stuffed animal or a stick or whatever. There are certain things that we have these almost, you know, it's not an innate fear, but it's kind of this innate preparation to be afraid of it. So it only takes one trial, you know, to make a chimpanzee afraid of a snake, or another, you know, we do these tests in other kinds of apes as well. And like in primates, especially, which would include humans, we learn to fear snakes really fast. And that's probably because for, you know, thousands of years, snakes have been a problem for primates. And if you didn't learn it really quick, you know, it's kind of like falling. Like if you fall once, you better learn really quick that, you know, you should be afraid of heights, or you should be cautious around heights. Right.
Right.
And we have that for a couple of things. I mean, like snakes are kind of the common one, but, falling would be another one. Darkness is a pretty common one, right? People are often afraid of the dark because they're kind of afraid of the unknown, right? And what's in the dark.
And then there's also the fact that fear is kind of just like that evolutionary thing that kind of keeps us alive. Because if people, we've seen episodes of TV series, Lock and Key springs to mind. I think there was an episode of the Buffy spinoff Angel, where if you have your fear removed, you're likely to make some dumb decisions. So in a lot of cases, fear is, you know, it's there for a particular reason. It serves an evolutionary purpose in our brains. If you're not afraid of anything, you're going to go grab that snake and you might get bit, or you're going to stick your hand in that fire to get something out of it and not know that, oh, I'm going to get burned. So that's kind of an interesting double-edged sword.
Right. Yeah. There's a really famous case of a woman who is, she's just called SM, like the letter S and the letter M in the clinical literature. And she, when she was young, she had an issue. I think it was an infection or something that caused part of her amygdala to essentially stop working. But it was only her amygdala, right? And the amygdala is like a little walnut shaped thing in the brain that is involved in a lot of the fear responses. And so when scientists discovered this, they did a lot of tests with her. They did things like taking her to an exotic pet store and having her look at the snakes and hold the snakes. They took her to haunted houses during Halloween. They had her watch scary movies. They show her people who are screaming or not screaming, you know, or doing other emotional expressions. And found that, interestingly, she wasn't afraid of any of these things. She didn't experience fear or hesitation towards them because that part of her brain was essentially broken. Hmm. But she did experience kind of a curiosity about these things. So it is that kind of double-edged, like, you do need to be afraid of these things, but in order to know how to deal with them, you have to have some kind of curiosity about them so that, you know, when the time is right, you can kind of learn about it, right? So animals do this all the time. Like, you know, if you go into the savannah and you see zebras, you know, and there's a lion around, the zebras don't always run away. If they notice the lion isn't actually chasing them or isn't actually stalking them, they'll kind of stand back and look at the lion. They'll kind of observe the threat and kind of learn about it. So there's this kind of push and pull of you should be afraid of it and you should run and you should be safe. But also at the same time, in order to react best to those things, you need to feel curiosity about them and learn about them. And I think that really drives a lot of our interest in things like true crime and horror movies.
And then there's another, I don't want to keep you too much longer, but yeah, true crime is another thing. It seems like there's, you know, for every normal podcast, there's one true crime podcast. Those go off the charts with popularity, and it's different types. It's kidnappings. It's not always serial killers. It's, you know, famous robberies or things that were stolen and vanished. Like, I just watched one on Netflix. It was a documentary about that famous art heist in Boston, not what, 20 years ago. But it the true crime stuff, what is it about true crime that we have such a fascination with?
Well, there's a very long answer and a very short answer. So the very short answer would be that the only way to learn – so there's two types of aggression. There's aggression that's kind of reactive and in the moment, and there's aggression that's kind of more planned and plotted, right? And the people in true crime who commit these acts of murder or even like robberies in some cases, like those are often very planned and calculated, right? And those people don't – they try to hide from you what they're doing. They hide their intentions. And so it's really difficult to learn, like, to pick up on the signals or pick up on the signs of who might be dangerous. And the only way to learn about that is to actually consume a story about it, right? Like, after it happens, you go back and you listen to someone tell that story, or you watch the documentary, or you watch the TV show, and you learn, like, oh, this is how they plan that. This is how they plotted that. These are the things that people should have picked up on, but they didn't. And so that really inspires a lot of curiosity in us and interest. And I think that's why, you know, true crime is so popular, is because the only way to learn about people who are dangerous that don't, you know, they don't just come out and tell you they're dangerous. The only way to learn about it is through a story.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like I said, those have skyrocketed. There's the ones that are on Netflix and Amazon and everything like that. But then also the podcast just blow up as well. It's one of those things, our fascination with that. And our fascination with fear. And if you want to meet Dr. Colton Scribner in person, again, he will be at the Haunted Garage Horror Film Festival October 5th through the 7th. I know you're giving your talk on Saturday the 7th. Are you there all 3 days, or are you just coming in for Saturday?
I'll be there all 3 days, yeah. So I give a talk there. I've been giving a talk there ever since their first year. It's a really great festival. Highly recommend it. Really high-quality films that come in. But yeah, I'll be there all weekend.
Very cool. So you can talk to him and tell him you heard about us on the radio show and talk a little bit about fear. What else can people, we talked about the book. Are you active online if people want to keep up with you? I know you've got a great website, which we'll put a link to that in the show notes. It's just your first and last name, ColtonScribner.com. Are you active on social media and things as well?
A little bit on Twitter. It's at Morbid Psych is my handle there. But really a lot of my stuff I put on my Substack. I write there. And put up stuff that either wasn't in my book or is adapted from stuff in my book or other research that I'm doing or stuff about the zombie crawl. And you can find a link to that on my website as well.
Perfect. And we will put that link to the website up. And like he said, there's a Substack button. You just click that on his website and it'll take you right there. I appreciate you taking the time on a Sunday night to chat fear with us on the air. Thank you very much for your time tonight.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Be well. There he goes, Dr. Colton Scribner. Make sure you check him out at the upcoming festival. That'll be a lot of fun. A wealth of information. I think the psychology is something that's obviously, I went and got a degree in psychology, so it's fascinating. And of course, there's so many different things we could have talked about. We may have to have him on again, actually, to talk about some other stuff that we didn't get to. Maybe if he's up for it, we can talk to him right before his zombie event coming up in the end of October in Eureka Springs. We'll promote that some more and talk to him then. We'll see. Before I let you go to this next commercial break, we want to make sure we tell you about one of our brand new sponsors, which of course is Citizens Debt Relief. One of the things people can be afraid of is money, the fear of debt. You don't want that hanging over your head. And, you know, we've seen, you know, the government bail out these big banks, just did it again recently earlier this year. And if you're on the cycle of credit card debt, if you're on that treadmill, you need to get off the treadmill. You need to get out of the hamster wheel, get ahead in life. Citizens Debt Relief can help you out. Their number, they have a special number just for my listeners. It's 877-811-1339, citizensdebtrelief.com. They helped me out. They can help you too. If you have at least $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, give them a call. Talk about your situation with them. See if they can help you. Chances are they can. They have a limited availability in certain states. So if you're in the St. Louis, Missouri area here, obviously you're good. They're in most states. Give them a call. Let them know where you are. They'll be able to tell you, yes, we can help you. Maybe, you know, they might not be able to, depending on your state. But don't think you're too far gone. Don't think, oh my gosh, I've got so much credit card debt, I'll never get off the... They just keep raising the interest rates. You're paying the minimum payment. You're not getting anywhere. They have those things on your credit card statements. You've probably seen them where it says if you pay the minimum amount, you're going to be paying for, you know, 22 years. If you pay this much, you'll be out in about 4 or 5 years. But why wait that long? Give Citizens Debt Relief a call. And their average person who comes to them has $24,000 in debt. So if you've got $10,000, if you've got $50,000, let them work with you. It's not a magic bullet. You didn't get into debt overnight. You're not going to get out of it overnight, but they are Trustpilot accredited. They have a great rank with the Better Business Bureau, and they can help you just like they helped me. You know, I wouldn't come to you with a product that I didn't use or I wasn't sure of. I'm telling you, they can help. You're coming up on the busy season here for the holidays. Don't get into the, oh, I'm just going to put that gift on my charge card. Oh, I'm just going to go ahead and charge this particular, you know, we got family coming over. I'm going to put this dinner on my charge card. Get out of debt. Get out of the cycle. Take control back from the big banks and these corporations who they raise your interest. Oh, 9.9 interest rate for life. Yeah, we said for life. We're going to jack it up to 18% now because we can. You don't like it? Pay the entire balance or else you have to subscribe to our current terms. Don't let the banks have control. Take control back of your life and take control back over your finances with Citizens Debt Relief. 877-811-1339. I'm going to give that number again. 877-811-1339. Tell them you heard about it on Geek to Me Radio, and they will help you come up with a customized strategy to get out of debt. Take it from me. They can help you. They helped me, and they're legit. CitizensDebtRelief.com, 877-811-1339. We're going to take another brief commercial break. We're going to come right back. We're going to be talking with Mikel McIntosh of Videra Wine Bar. Just recently opened their soft opening. They're going to do a grand opening later this week. We'll talk to them about details. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio on the Big 550 KTRS. Please stand by.
This is Sam Jones, Flash Gordon, and you are listening to Geek to Me Radio.
We are back. Geek to Me Radio on the Big 550 KTRS. We've had one winner so far text in for the giveaway that I'm doing to the movie Flora and Son this coming Tuesday at the High Point Theater. Free concessions. They've got a band playing beforehand, and the movie starts promptly at 7. You can get there around 5:30, 5:45, listen to the band, get free concessions, hang out, and watch Flora and Son. The movie features Joseph Gordon-Levitt, so if you would like a free pair of tickets to go see that Tuesday night at the High Point. If you're in the St. Louis area, obviously this is for people who are in the greater St. Louis area. All you have to do is text me on the KTRS text lines at 84126. What is your favorite TV series or film featuring Joseph Gordon-Levitt? I'll get your email address. We'll get you a pair of those tickets sent out for free. Send us that text at 84126. I also want to briefly tell you about Kokomo Toys in Kokomo, Indiana. They are partnering up with us to do a toy giveaway. So if you like toys, you need to go visit Kokomo Toys in Kokomo, Indiana. I just went out to Cincinnati Comic Expo. this week. Drove really quick, 36-hour turnaround. Drove out there early in the morning, got there for the con on Saturday, drove back that afternoon. It was a whirlwind trip, but it was well worth it. I have some pictures coming on the social medias soon, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. But I almost made the trip up to Kokomo Toys because it's like, oh, it's an hour out of the way, but it's worth it. If you're in the area, you already know what I'm talking about. If you're planning a trip anywhere near Indiana, go check out Kokomo Toys. This is where I want them to be cremated when I died, and my ashes scattered here. This place is amazing. If you're a toy fanatic, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s toys, Funko Pops, they've got it all. A very cool display just to go in and browse around. We've got a toy question for our weekly Kokomo Toys trivia giveaway. I'm trying to say all that without messing it up. But if you would like to win a prize pack from Kokomo Toys, all you have to do, text us on the KTRS text lines 84126. Tell me your favorite Thundercat toy. If you're a fan of the 80s toys, Thundercats, whatever your favorite toy was, text that toy to me at 84126. The first person I see text an answer will set you up with a prize pack from Kokomo Toys. You don't have to be in the St. Louis area to win this one. So any of our listeners, anywhere out there, you tell me your favorite Thundercat toy, and I will send you a package courtesy of Kokomo Toys in Kokomo, Indiana. Make sure you check them out on social media as well. We've got Mikkel McIntosh. We had her on last year. She was opening the Vedera Wine Shop and Bar. They're open, and I'm so excited. I got the thing come across my Instagram. I yelled out loud. I was so excited. So they're open, and I plan to check them out. They have a grand opening. If I'm not mistaken, Mikkel, it's this coming Tuesday, the 26th. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
So this has been
super
such,
excited.
I know you've put so much work into this, and I know you were expecting to open earlier. It's got to be such a relief now. It's like, oh my gosh, we're open.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely a sign of relief. We've had so many construction delays that it's just been totally insane. Stuff that's kind of like out of my control.
Yeah.
So it feels good to actually have people walking through the door and, you know, greeting customers and, you know, actually seeing people having a good time. It's just awesome.
And I know that you had a soft opening last week. I was wanting to get out. Grimlock, yeah. My dog had to have some surgery done, so we couldn't make it. But I'm definitely excited to come out very soon here and check the place out. Talk a little bit about what all. Yeah, I know you obviously you have wine, but you guys have specialty cocktails and things like that too.
Yeah. So we have 4 cocktails. We wanted to have 5, but right now we're just gonna, you know, start it off pretty small, short and sweet and to the point. But everything is kind of like. They're named after different quotes of movies, like, you know, like E.T. Phone Home, Show Me the Money, I'll Have What She's Having.
I love it already.
Yeah, they're really fun. One of them, I'll Have What She's Having, it's kind of towards the vodka drinker who wants something a little bit sweet, but kind of like a complex drink. So it's vodka, raspberry jam, Angostura bitters, and lime. It's
Ooh.
Really delicious. It kind of reminds you of a cocktail that we found online. It was called a Cosmonaut. It's actually a place that was in LA. It's closed down during COVID, but it's really like jammy, fruit forward. The vodka's in there. And if you love bitters, then it kind of brightens up with the bitters at the end. It's really yummy.
And if you're listening right now and that sounds really good, what I want you to do is go on to Instagram. You can follow them there at Vedera Wine Bar. It's Vedera Wine Bar, all one word. They're located at 2702 Locust Street in the rear, St. Louis, Missouri. You not only have the cocktails and people can come in and have a glass of wine, things like that. You sell bottles of wine too. People want to come down and grab something for as a gift.
Yeah. So we have stuff by the glass and we have stuff by the bottle. But if, you know, you find something that you really, really like that's by the glass, we offer by the bottle at retail price. So, you know, we might have it, let's just say our Cross Barn Chardonnay, we have it by the glass and we have it by the bottle here, but you can get it for retail price pretty darn cheap, you know, something that you could take home and you can also try here. Which is awesome because you can't really do that at the grocery store.
Right.
Which I think they should change that.
Well, that's like, one of the reasons I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed back at the Creve Coeur Deerbergs for just that reason.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, they said, hey, sir, you can't be opening those and sampling them.
You're going to get open bottles.
But this is, like I said, I'm so excited. This is finally, because I got to meet you in person, and you were kind enough to give me some wines to try, and I was so excited. I kept looking. I'm like, okay, maybe, but now that you're open, how did the soft opening go?
The soft opening went really well. We're anticipating, like, you know, people saying, like, hey, well, you should try, you know, you should fix this or you should do this. Everybody's like, no, keep everything the same. Like, you guys are doing a really good job. Like, they love the place. We had people come on Wednesday, and guess what? They came on Wednesday, and then they came on Thursday, and the same people that came on Thursday came on Friday. So we constantly keep having repeat customers, which is really good.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
And are you selling?
People have found their place here.
Is it a little bit of a mix? Like, some people are buying cocktails and it's mostly wine. Like, what's the ratio? Or is it pretty much spread even?
What? We have a lot of cocktail drinkers. I was really surprised. Like, I thought they were going to buy glasses of wine. We are having, when we, you know, go home, we kind of check, you know, to see, you know, who's buying this and who's buying that. Our sales are kind of head to head with the cocktails and liquor sales and the wine sales. So it's kind of half and half right now.
And obviously, like, I'm someone who, when we go out, I might start with a cocktail. If I'm having a meal, I'll have a glass of wine paired with whatever I'm having. So you guys, obviously, you serve food there as well. Talk a little bit about some of the food on the menu. If people are like, well, you know, some people want to go out for a meal. Some people just want to go out and get appetizers and drinks. So talk a little bit about the menu.
Exactly. So we have a snack and share menu. So it's not necessarily small plates. We just call them snack and share, something that you can share with, you know, your partner or whoever you brought, you know, with you. You can even eat it alone, which I would do. but one of the items, burrata and tomato jam, it's tomato jam with olive oil, basil, salt and pepper, and with Union Loafers bread, which is chef's kiss. It's delicious.
Sounds good. Wow.
Onion dip and chips. Mixed nuts, mixed olives. We have za'atar, naan, and hummus. We top that with chickpeas, olive oil, lemon juice, smoked paprika, and then we have it za'atar naan on the side, and it's really delicious.
Wow! Yeah, I, if you were open late, I'd come by there right now. My goodness.
Yes. And a huge, giant New York pretzel that is ridiculous. It's hanging. We have it hanging up, and when people see it, they're like, oh my God.
Wow. So
it's really good. Yeah.
So so it sounds like you've got a lot. And what about now? Some people want to come in after they've already gone out to dinner, because some people do that. They'll go out and have dinner someplace, but then they want to go someplace after and get dessert and a drink or a cocktail or something. Are there some, you mentioned a lot of savory things. Are there some sweet things to satisfy that little sweet craving if someone wants to come in after dinner?
So at the moment, all we have is Clementine's Naughty and Nice Creamery ice cream.
Nothing wrong with
that. So we have the, So we have the pink champagne sorbet, which is vegan, but it also, you know, contains alcohol. And then we have the maple bourbon with candied pecans. It's really yummy. That also contains alcohol. But we also have a vegan vanilla bean ice cream for our vegans out there. And that's made with coconut milk and not your normal dairy milk, which is cow's milk. But we have, you know, ice cream. We want to eventually kind of have like Hank's cakes or some type of like cheesecake, you know, something on the menu like that, but that's probably later down the road.
Gotcha. And again, like I said, I'm not trying to pressure you. Obviously, you just opened, so it's one of those things. I'm always curious because sometimes it's like you said, after you've already had dinner, you want to go out. But man, with Clementine's, you can't go wrong with having that.
Yeah.
And again, if you're listening, you want to check them out.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
It's the Vedera Wine Bar. They are located at 2702 Locust Street Rear. What are the hours of operation? Someone's listening right now and they're like, well, you know, we want plans for next weekend. What are your hours right now?
So we're going to be open from Tuesday through Sunday, 4 p.m. to 12 a.m.
And that's consistent
on Mondays.
Tuesday through Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
4 p.m. to 12. And do people, is it pretty much people can walk in, or reservations recommended, you guys? Because some places don't even do reservations at all anymore.
I know. We just have people walk in. It's first come, first serve, you know. And we also, when they come in, we're like, hey, where would you like to sit? You know, you don't want to kind of guide them anywhere. It's a small space. So we give them the opportunity to find, like, the right seating for them. But we have been getting a lot of calls about reservations. And I'm just like, we're not a reservation place, but I'm open to making a reservation for someone if they really need it. You know, some people are kind of like, they really like to be on like a certain time, you know, time frame. So if they need a reservation, I can definitely make it for them.
It just seems like that's the trend. A lot of places are going that direction. It's like, no, we're not going to do reservations. It's kind of you first come, first serve.
Yeah, I'm kind of just like, come have fun.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, people have tickets to the Fox or something like that. They want to do something beforehand, but that's just kind of one of those, maybe you want to get there right at 4 o'clock then and hang out for a longer period of time. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Then go to the Fox and it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lady who just called me about her birthday, and I was just like, I'm going to make a reservation because you know what? It's her birthday. And I don't want to just all of a sudden say like, oh, I'm not going to be busy. And then we end up being like, super busy and she can't find a seat. So I went ahead and made a reservation for her. So if anybody needs a reservation, I would definitely make it.
Yeah. And what's the number of people should call if they want to check it out and make, you know, not that you're taking reservations, but if they've got a large party or it's a birthday or something, what's the number to call for Videra?
Yes. So just call 314-377-9463.
There it is, and we'll have that link. If you're listening to this in the show notes after the fact, scroll down to the bottom of the page. We'll have the link to their website and the phone number there as well. Now, my last question, because it's not a reservation place, but if you mentioned it's the size of your space that you have. If someone shows up with a large party, that might be a problem. Is it usually you're seeing people come in couples,
right?
And groups, you know, like maybe four people, or what's the largest group you could accommodate if they just roll up?
Oh, so honestly, we have a pretty decent sized space. So I would say like up to like six or more. They can even have 10 if they would like. We have some lounge seating that fits at least five people. So we have a couple of sections for that. And then we have a six top in the back. And then we have a huge banquette as well where we can put tables together that can fit a lot of people.
Nice. And again, the grand opening is Tuesday, so if you're listening and you want someplace new to go to check out, if you're looking for someplace brand new, someplace, you know, you got that itch, it's like, I've been to this place, go check them out against the Videra Wine Shop and Bar, 2702 Locust Street, rear, right here in our very own St. Louis area. So excited, and I can't wait to get down there once my dog heals up a little bit. Not that he's coming, but you know.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I'm excited for the grand opening. I'm so happy that you gave me a call because, you know, it's been a long road.
Yeah. And again, I'm so pleased that it finally happened because I know you were at the time.
Too.
You said, well, we're running it. This was back, I think, in December. You said, we're running into some plumbing issues, but I was like, oh, I hope it's still opening. So I was thrilled when I saw your post.
Yeah, I'm extremely excited. I'm just so happy that it's just the wait is over. And just to have people sitting here, it's just, I don't know, it feels really good.
I can only imagine. Congratulations on the opening. We can't wait to come
Thank
check it
you.
Out.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great rest of your night.
You too.
Be well. Thanks.
Thanks.
There she goes, Mikkel McIntosh. Yeah, definitely want to check that out. If you're looking for someplace new, if you've been to every place else in St. Louis, go check them out. They're not a sponsor, but she was so kind last time we had her on. It was just before Thanksgiving. We were talking about what wines to pair with different meals and the fact that they were opening. So I'm so glad it's open, and we always want to support St. Louis businesses. Speaking of local businesses, have you been to the city of St. Charles lately? The Greater St. Charles Convention and Visitors Bureau would love to see your face down there along Main Street and some of their restaurants, maybe shopping at some of their very fine privately owned shops up and down Main Street. Go check them out. If you haven't been out there for a while, there's always something new to see, a new restaurant, a new store, a new fun thing happening. They had their big Oktoberfest this weekend. So the streets were closed off down there for that. And right around the corner, Legends and Lanterns is coming up. The city of St. Charles throws a party like nobody else. If you are in the greater St. Louis, St. Charles area, I don't know why you haven't gone over there and checked them out lately. Maybe you have. Maybe you'd like to go by the Convention and Visitors Bureau like our friend Alan did and send them a message. Say, hey, I heard about you on Geek to Me Radio, and it sounds like a great place. Planning to come down and check it out. Come down and see Legends and Lanterns. If you haven't got any plans for Halloween yet, this is a great thing to bring the entire family to. Think Mary, not scary. It's not one of those, Halloween horror festivals where you walk through a haunted house and everything like that. No, this is something all the family can come out. The little kids will enjoy getting to sing karaoke with Phantom of the Opera, or maybe they can join the Monster Hunters and they can listen to stories from the Brothers Grimm and Mary Shelley, who are there, living history characters like that. They can interact with the Queen of Hearts. They can join the pirate crew with Captain Hook and Anne Bonny. They can see a mermaid. It's so much fun. Bring the little ones. The adults have just as much fun as the kids, trust me. City of St. Charles always has something fun going on. Check them out at discoverstcharles.com. Discoverstcharles.com. As we always say, it's an historically good time. And I want to make sure we tell you about our official comic book sponsor as well, Bugs Comics and Games. Just ran into Larry at the Toy Man Toy Show. I popped out there today because, Toy Man Toy Show, you got to go by. Larry set up there with his comics and everything like that. And he's always got a huge selection. Every time I go by his table or his store, obviously, on Bryan Road, there's always something new. He's always buying collections, which means he always has new inventory. So if you haven't been there in a couple of weeks, you might want to go back and check out some of the cool stuff he's got. Books to fit every budget. He has boxes and boxes of dollar books. Every comic in the box is a dollar. He's got boxes of $2 comics, $3 comics, $5, $10, regular back issues, all the way up to some really nice comics that if you're a hardcore collector and you're looking for a hard-to-find issue, he might have it on his wall or in his display cases. And if he doesn't, chances are he can probably track it down for you. Go check him out and make sure you go to the Facebook page, like Bugs Comics and Games on Facebook. And if you're in the greater St. Louis, St. Charles area, they're right there on Bryan Road in O'Fallon, easily accessible from either the page extension 364 or Highway 70. If you are wanting to get back into the hobby, maybe you've let your hobby lapse, go check him out and join the Avengers Club. That way you save money every week on your comics, on your pull list. Create a pull list so you don't miss an issue, because a lot of times some of those ones you'll get, oh my gosh, I just heard about this comic. You get to the store, boom, it's sold out. Don't let that happen to you. Get a pull list going with Larry so you get your comics ready for you every week. Then you go by at your leisure and pick them up. You join the Avengers Club. You've just saved some money and you've made sure you didn't miss out on your books. How great is that? Talk to Larry there at Bugs Comics. Tell him Geek to Me Radio sent you, and make sure you join the Avengers Club. Very glad to have him as the official comic book sponsor here on Geek to Me Radio. We've got a lot of stuff coming up next month. I can't believe it's October already. We're coming right up on the doorstep of October here. It's my favorite time of month. We've got some great guests lined up. That's all I'll say at this point. I don't want to spoil anything. And also, if someone cancels, I don't want to tell you that we're on the air and they end up canceling. But we've got a lot of stuff to look forward to in the month of October. We've got a lot of great movies coming out. I just ended up seeing Dumb Money was my last movie I was able to see. It was really interesting. I don't think I've ever seen a movie turn around that quickly, like from the time the events happened to the time the movies come out, because these are all events that just happened 2 years ago. And they've already got a movie out about it. Vincent D'Onofrio is in it. They've got Paul Dano is in it. Shailene Woodley's in it. I'm blanking on their names now, but it was a really good movie. I remember being mad when I left it. So any movies that evoke kind of feelings in you, not mad at the movie, mad because of what these people did and they're trying to squash the little guy, which, I'm all for the underdog here on Geek to Me Radio. We've got one more pair of tickets left to give away in our giveaway for the Flora and Son. Again, that's coming up this Tuesday at the High Point. All you have to do is text me if you're in the greater St. Louis, St. Charles area, the name of your favorite project, TV or movie starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who does appear in Flora and Son, and I will send you a link to get your tickets. Free concessions. They got musical entertainment before the movie starts. Movie starts at 7 o'clock, but you can get there around 6 o'clock. Hear some free music. Get some free concessions. Have a fun night at the movies. This coming Tuesday at the High Point. Just text me at 84126, your favorite TV show or movie starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and those tickets will be sent to you. That's going to do it. Another show in the books. I can't believe it's happened already. My thanks to all my sponsors, Citizens Debt Relief. Give them a call at 877-811-1339. My friends at the City of St. Charles, Greater St. Charles Convention and Visitors Bureau, discoverstcharles.com, Kokomo Toys in Kokomo, Indiana, and of course, Bugs Comics and Games. Until next week, my friends.
It's not in the way you watch the Flash. It's not in the way you love Scotty Young Art. It's not in the way you play Mario Kart. It's not in the way you look when you make Game of Thrones references. That's a show. This is Geek to Me Radio. That's a show.
Hey kids, are your parents about to buy you a shiny new toy from Amazon?
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Well, don't be selfish. Share some of that money with us. Before going on Amazon, make sure to type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser. It will look just like Amazon.com, except it'll say referral Geek to Me Radio up top. And then when you check out, a tiny percentage will go to support the show without costing you 1 cent more. So before your parents get you that gizmo, gadget, or widget, make sure they type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser.
bit.ly/geektome bit.ly/geektome